Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
When we started this podcast, the idea was to talk about what we get up to in a very informal, chatty way every week. And this week, we're talking about something that Tamara's been interested in for some time. And I say for some time because she's been stuck on a computer for at least 10 days researching sourdough baking. I don't know if sourdough is known in Bosnia and Herzegovina and the Western Balkans.
I think it is because my aunt said that she used to make it and she comes from Livno.
And didn't your mum say something about...
It's like a sourdough bread. It's 1,000 years old. That's how people used to make bread back in the day. Probably not with all these fancy things they're doing now to make one bread, but that's how they used to make bread. I don't think we had a commercial yeast back in the day. They made their own yeast, their own bread. So it's been around for quite some time.
Your mother said that during the conflict of the 1990s, she used to have her own yeast, didn't she?
No, she got it. I misunderstood. She got pivo, the beer yeast. She used to use beer yeast. And you have to put so little because the beer yeast is much stronger than normal commercial yeast. But we didn't have yeast here during the war, so.
It just made me think about something when you talked about beer yeast. We have a small micro pivnica, micro brewery near us in Jakupovci, which is about 3 kilometers away. And Nikola, who runs that, he has a beer called Gorshtak. He makes all different types. They're absolutely wonderful. A bit pricey, but really nice.
He also makes sourdough bread.
And do you think he uses the yeast from his beer?
No. He wouldn't call it sourdough bread. He made his own yeast, I think. Or maybe he got it from somebody. But he makes sourdough bread. But he uses his own crops, I think.
And we know that there's a guy in Banja Luka, Alexander Trifunovic.
Oh, he's been doing it for some time.
He's an editor of a magazine.
He's the one, actually, he got me into it.
Really?
Because he posts so many pictures and he was so into it. Yeah. He has a sourdough starter. Like, his yeast is 4 years old.
I'll put a link to his Instagram. So
yeah,
if you're interested.
He has a personal Instagram and then he has only one for the sourdough bread.
We'll link to the sourdough. So you spent, now I know where it really came from. So you saw Alexander's Instagram, and then you spent days and days and days.
I saw his Instagram like years ago, and I'm thinking maybe I should try doing this, do it. But then it didn't come to me, and I said, "Oh well," because it's people say it's pretty hard to make sourdough bread, but I don't think it is. You just need to find the recipe and stick to it. Plus, I made yesterday English muffins, which are even more amazing than the bread. They taste so wonderful. So you just have to make a decision. Let's do this. I can do this.
Yeah, but what got you interested in it? Was it just the pictures?
I don't know. It's just him doing it. And he, I think he went to Serbia. He had an interview, I don't know, in some newspapers. And he took to the guy as a present, his sourdough bread. So I think giving away something like that It's really nice as a present.
They
like
look
a
like,
handmade.
They look like works of art, those pictures, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, you can fake pictures. We know
he likes his sourdough bread a little bit more dark. I don't like my dark. I like mine like a honey color. But his is really dark. He likes it really crispy.
Sourdough, your aunt, your Strina, said that she knows about sourdough because you're going to give her some of your starter, aren't you?
Yes, yes. She asked me for some starter, so she's going to make it as well. But I don't know what recipe she's going to use. I'm using the recipe from Lisa's Farmhouse. I found her on TikTok. She's so good. She's so simple. And she wants people to learn how to make it. And I follow her recipe and it works so far for me. Although my second bread didn't rise as much as I thought it should, but I think I didn't give it a proper cut. Because you have to cut it in order for the gases to escape. And when the gases escape, he grows bigger.
Was it difficult
to make? But it's a learning process, you know.
Was it difficult to make that first
starter?
And
not one bread is the same, they say.
Yeah, I know. Was it difficult to make the first starter?
The first starter went in the bin. It didn't work out. Because I found a quick recipe also on TikTok, how to make a starter without any discard. Because when you make a starter, you have to discard some. Throw some out, and I didn't want to waste. So that didn't turn out well, the ratio of water, flour, and everything. And then we got sick, so I couldn't feed it. I was really ill one day. I couldn't even walk. And then I decided, well, when I get better, I'm going to make another sourdough starter. And I used the recipe from this lady that I mentioned. She lives in California, Lisa's Farmhouse. So simple, and it's working.
And you wanted a Dutch oven. So we had to look for that.
Yes.
And then we ordered one online,
because
which came broken, and we had to send that back.
Yeah. Before I made sourdough bread, I used to make no-knead bread, which is also very good bread. But once you have a sourdough bread and no-knead bread, there's two completely different things in flavor. So you would never go to no-knead bread after you make your sourdough bread.
Is the Dutch oven really, really important to do this? Could you just do this in a normal oven?
You can do it in the normal oven. There's a different ways, but you need a steam. Steam is very crucial in baking the bread. And you need a really high temperature. I mean, not too high, obviously. And I've seen one German guy on the... he has his baking thing. He has even a pizza stone. And he do it on a pizza stone or even on a tray you can do it. You turn your tray upside down. And he has one tray on top, and then on the bottom he has tray with stones, which heats up, and he puts water in it, so he steams it.
Like a sauna.
Like a sauna, yeah. So you don't really need a Dutch oven, but everyone is doing it in a Dutch oven, and Dutch oven makes wonderful crispy bread.
The ingredients also are important, because now, instead of just going and buying flour... Yesterday, when you went to get a flour resupply, you're now looking at everything. And you came to me last night and said, do you know how many percentage of, I don't know, protein is it?
Protein, yes. The flour, the bread flour apparently has more protein. And that's why it's so good to make the sourdough bread, because apparently protein works better. But I'm still in a research phase. So I was looking at some of the flours and they have different content of protein. And I use this specific type of flour and works well for me, so I'm going to stick with it. And I also want to try with the spelt flour that I buy in DM 640. That one has 12 grams of protein. And this one has like, how much did I say, 9.7?
9.7. And then the one in DM had 12 something, didn't it?
12, yes. And the rye has a 7. 10. 10 or 11. It's really high content of protein.
When you were making your no-knead bread, you can knock these up very, very quickly. I mean, you were really fast with doing that. And I thought the taste of no-knead bread far exceeded any of the breads, even from the local pecker, the local baker. They do taste far, far, far superior. And now this no-knead bread, and we've been having this, 3 days now? I mean, it is absolutely...
Sourdough.
It's amazing, but it takes so long. Does that frustrate you?
No. You have to plan it ahead. It takes a whole day to make one. You have to feed your starter, and that takes 3 to 4 hours. Once you feed your starter, then you have to know when is your starter at the peak. Then you can start doing your bread. And then you mix the dough. It's a shaggy wet dough. And then you have to let it sit for an hour at least that's called autolysis, I think, where the gluten binds together with water. And then you have to do stretch and fold 3 or 4 times. And then I also like to let it sit on the counter for an hour or two after that. And then you put it overnight in the fridge. It should be in the fridge.
That's proofing.
Cold fermenting. That's proofing, yeah.
Now, it all went wrong today. It all went wrong last night, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Well, I've just seen the bread that you just made and you went, oh, there's problems here. It didn't rise so much. And I think,
yeah, I look used at these marks from the proofing bowl. Small bottle, a small, how do you say, thing for the proofing. Oh. I need to find a proper proofing basket, which we don't have it here, so I have to order it from China.
But you're an AliExpress person, aren't
you? Yeah, they are really good. But I have to see, it's play, make mistakes and see what's better, what works for you. And I'm pretty happy with the bread. It just didn't rise as much as the last one, but I'm sure it's going to be delicious. And I don't like sourdough bread with lots of holes because you want to, you know, when you put your jam, you want it to stay on the bread, not to go through the holes. Some people are obsessed with the holes, but I'm not.
You made muffins for me, didn't you?
I made also English muffins, and they taste amazing.
You said they're better than the bread.
I'm making another batch tonight. I'm starting tonight because it needs to ferment overnight.
You said they're better than the bread.
They are better. I think easier to maintain, to keep. Because bread, after 2 days, it gets a bit hard.
And your experiment now, I'm experimenting of freezing
the muffins, yes, so that we don't have to throw any bread away. Because it is a piece of work. It takes 24 hours. It's a long waiting. It's not hard. It takes you just a few minutes, you know, when you do stretch and folds and everything, it takes a few minutes. But it's a waiting process where you have to wait for the dough to ferment. And apparently the more it ferments, it's better for you. But you also cannot over-ferment. If you over-ferment, then your bread turns out like a pancake.
you are a natural artist anyway. So when you've got this this sequence, if I can say that, perfected, so it's rising properly and then it, you know, you get it to the right color and the consistency and everything, then comes into things like Alexander's got on his Instagram, when you look at it, are all these intricate sort of like designs,
yes,
that he does with a Gillette razor blade. Are you looking forward to doing that? Because I know we went out into the store yesterday and we didn't actually buy a Gillette, but you said you can't find them anywhere now.
I don't know why. I was thinking maybe to go to apotheca and or pharmacy and to buy it like a hero knife. That's pretty sharp.
Like a medical scalpel.
Medical scalpel, yeah. That might work. I'm not sure. But I ordered from China, the Gillette.
How intricate can these designs be? I mean, you've been watching all these YouTube videos and you see all these people.
Yeah, if you go on Pinterest and you put sourdough scoring designs, you get all different kinds of design. People even make, for the Thanksgiving, they make a bread that looks like turkey, honestly. And they make, for the Halloween, they make bread, in the fall, they make bread that looks like pumpkin. It's so amazing. Like, you just go into Pinterest and you get all these different ideas.
And all you need is a scalpel or a razor blade.
Razor blade is the better, yeah. And the dough needs to be cold. The colder the dough, the better scarring. You can do better.
She's going to get annoyed now. Could you make crumpets?
Crumpets, no crumpets. I'm not a great fan of crumpets. English muffins is the...
Well,
I've
been following on Substack. I've been looking through Substack as well, and there's a good number of Substacks that really, really do go into the weeds about sourdough. And there's one thing that I'm going to try and encourage you to do for me, but I mean, get a bit more skills first. Is, you know, you and I both love curries,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have that in common. This Anglo Balkan sort of like fusion for curry. And every time we do curry, we have rice, right? But I love naan bread so much, especially a peshwari naan that has like almonds in it and sliced almonds and, you know, raisins and sultanas and things like that.
To be honest,
and on one of these sourdough substacks, it said you can make sourdough naan.
I don't know, these English muffins, they taste like naan, like lepinha, like.
I was going to say that
you can use English muffins to dip in your curry.
When people make salmon,
I can just make them bigger. I think lepinha is made from sourdough.
Do you think salmon and lepinha is the Balkan equivalent of sourdough?
I think it is, because it tastes exactly the same. This bread is like a lepinha on steroids. It's so tasty.
The texture, I like the texture of the sourdough bread rather than the texture of the lepina. I don't see...
Yeah, lepina has too many holes, but it's nice and soft. It's perfect for cevap or... But I have also now, since I've been making my starter, I started to make my starter on 30th of December. So I did a lot of discard, and I have like a jar of discard. So I'm looking for the recipe to use the sourdough starter discard. There's a recipe for crepes, pancakes. You can make, there's one guy, he makes like an onion pancake. He just makes like a discard, fry it in a pan. And apparently it's amazing. He has it for breakfast. He has it for years now. He never throws his discard. And you shouldn't be throwing a discard because it's a gold. So I'm going to try to learn how to make sourdough discard tortillas, crepes, because we love crepes here more than American pancakes. And I don't know, crackers. There's a recipe for sourdough discard crackers as well.
Mm.
And I'm learning how to make pizza crust, sourdough pizza crust.
So do you make these from a single starter, or do you have different starters? Because I know you said today, I'm making a new starter because yesterday it was, what name do we give it? What is this with names and starters?
They say if you give a name to a starter, you get more lucky. Your bread turns out better if you have a name. That's what they say.
So what are your two names so far?
Mine is a chica, the first starter. It's made of white flour, and I'm experimenting now making a... They say if you make it from the rye flour, the starter is much stronger and makes better bread. So I'm making now the brownie, the rye. I call it brownie the rye. So I'm making a new starter. It's the second day today.
We have this Dutch oven that we got.
We'll see if it works. It might not work for me. I don't know.
We ordered this Dutch oven.
But I keep my chica going alive. I'm going to keep it for many years.
Right. Now, we had this Dutch oven that arrived. It was broken and we had to send it back. There was a bit of drama and you're using this. But then before you actually ordered it, we were going to buy something from a local store.
We'll go and buy it anyway.
And we need
a bigger one.
It was a different shape. Mm-hmm. And it had a lid that you could turn upside down into like a...
Rostin.
A grill. Like a barbecue grill. Do you think that the sourdough bread will, you know, when you bake it, will change depending on the sort of, let's say, the Dutch oven or the container that you bake it in? Do you know what I'm saying?
I think the Dutch oven keeps the shape, so...
So the one you've got now is round, and I thought the one we were looking at was like oval in a way, wasn't it?
It's oval. That will be more for to roast the meat in it. I will use it for that more. And I also want to have a proper cast iron, like a frying pan, so that I can make this. Everything tastes much better from the cast iron, and it's more healthier.
The color changed, doesn't it? On the one we've got, it's orange. Right, it's like...
No, it's red, but it goes dark red when it's hot.
It goes like blood red, doesn't it?
Yeah. It changes color.
Have you got burnt yet?
No, thank the Lord, because I always burn myself. I didn't, but you have to put your bread in a scorching hot Dutch oven. That's how you do it. Some people do it in a cold Dutch oven, but it's better if it's preheated. So you have to be very, very careful when you do it.
Now, Alexander, Trifunovic bakes his, I think, once a week, you said, right?
Yeah, he has an oval one. He makes an oval bread.
And he gives them as presents, as gifts to people. Are you considering doing that as well? Instead of going places and taking a bag of coffee sugar.
I'm going to give it as a gift to my mother. We do it next week.
Do you think we should take one to our neighbors for Slava?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he would appreciate that. I'm not sure. Because Slava is a different type of event. I can give him like any other day. It's better than take it to Slava. When you go to Slava, you buy kafa, šećer, kocka.
Slava, by the way, is every family has a Slava, and it celebrates the family saint.
Family saint, yeah.
Right.
Not every family, Serbs mainly.
Yeah.
I think Croats have it as well.
With the muffins, and Tam makes nice scones as well, but it doesn't matter, muffins or scones. I always like to try and replicate the English cream tea and the sort of like sweet bit of it, which because my father came from Devon and my grandmother came from Cornwall, West Country people, they always had like clotted cream And jam.
Which is like kaimak.
And, yeah, kaimak is clotted cream. But we've spent all these years trying to find one that replicates it. And I think more by luck than judgment, yesterday you found, you said, oh, why don't we try this one, the president.
Yeah, but everyone puts salt here. That's the thing.
Yeah, but
clotted cream is a kaimak without salt. But people put salt here because we eat it savory.
I know.
And the salt preserves it as well.
But that one from...
So if you find a family that has a cow and has a kaimak, you tell them, can you make me slatki kaimak? Sweet kaimak. Don't put salt in it.
Because it's slatki.
We can do that.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to find.
Fine, but we found it with that president.
Maybe on Piazza we can find it. I'm not sure.
That brand president. I ate it this morning on the muffin and I just thought this is almost the same as Cornish or Devonian clotted cream.
Yeah, but it's not like a proper, like Jezerka kaimak, but it's still good. It's good. Yeah, you can use that.
So this year when we're out and about, we should try and, we could go up onto the Vlasic. They have cows up on the Vlasic.
Yeah, you can ask your friend there. Can you buy some sweet kaimak?
Some sweet kaimak.
Kaimak without salt.
Right.
We have to look for our dogs.
So now you know, and we'll keep you up to date with that. So the next thing you've got to do today
is roast the chicken in a Dutch oven.
We're having roasted chicken.
You are peeling the potatoes.
I'm peeling the potatoes, and then I'll have that for 2 days.
And you have to sift my flour because my hand hurts.
Yeah, I have to put it through the sieve, and then there's Kolyanitsa, which is like ice pie, the Germans would call it. Pig's trotter, I think they call it in English. I'm looking forward to that.
It's a leg.
Yeah, the lower leg.
Near the lower, this is the upper leg. The lower leg is too small.
Ah.
But it's above the Kolyanitsa.
And that's
better.
Be nice.
It's better, yeah. We should do it in a kiseli kupus. Cook it for a long time.
In the pickled cabbage leaves.
Yeah, pickled cabbage leaves.
Well, that'd be good. We could make a video about that.
Yeah. I've seen some restaurant in Serbia has it. It's a specialty. Kolyanitsa in kiseli kupus.
Well, let's try that then.
We might try it. But this kupus that we... this year, our kupus did not turn out well. So I have to buy commercial pickled cabbage in order to make sarma. And it was really, really sour. I even washed it in a few waters, but it's still... So maybe they made it with vinegar. I'm not
sure. Your sarma that you made for Bozic for Christmas was really nice, I thought.
It was nice. We ate it how many days now?
Well, we finished it last night. Okay, that's it for episode 6. Episode 7 will be next week. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us on Substack. You can find us on An Englishman in the Balkans podcast. Just put
If you have
in.
Any suggestions or anything to do with sourdough, you can leave your comments down
Please
below.
Please do, yeah.
Please do. Let me know if you're making it and where, what country. How did you come about? Phoebe's on the road. Never mind. Let's finish the episode. We have to get...
One
she's
of
coming
our dogs
down
is running down the road, so we'll have to go and get her. And if you want to send us an email, it's David and Tamara. That's all one word, at An Englishman in the Balkans. And if you'd like to support the channel, there's a button. Please do. You can buy us a coffee. Your support is well appreciated. So...
Thank you very much for listening.
We've got to go and get the dog off the street.
Yes, and we have to get going, David.
Okay.
Idemo. Laku noć. Prijatno doviđenja.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic-Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.